Let's pray together. Jesus, you are good and you are in this place tonight, and we are so grateful that you came to reveal your love and your light to a weary world that was lost in darkness. We worship you tonight, newborn Savior, eternal King. We bless your holy name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading tonight from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The words will not be on the screen, so just listen to this very familiar but really important passage. This is the word of God for the people of God this evening. Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them at the time. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people of the earth. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those upon which his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Joseph and Mary and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in their heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. We praise the name of Jesus tonight and are grateful for his perfect eternal word. Many of you know our family has just had a really big week. This past week, just got Disney Plus. And we'd been waiting and we decided to go ahead, and it's worth it, guys. It's worth the whatever, $6 a month. I'm just telling you now. We also had a child, incidentally, our fourth born, Forrester Jones Bebout. And he's named Forrester because I can abbreviate it to four. And since he's the fourth one, I'm not even trying to name these kids anymore. He's just a number at this point. He's actually our first child that we got like naming sponsorship. So Subaru is the sponsoring agency, and we've got like a three-child deal. And so the next baby is going to be Outback Bebout, and the following one will be Cross Trek Bebout. And so we're looking forward to that as well. All I've got is jokes tonight. I have been sleeping, not at all. Forrester was born on a Sunday, and all of our kids were due on Thursdays and born on Sundays. So these are like true preacher's kids. They're looking out for their dad. They're getting them out of work. But it was really close. It was really close. It was 11:30 p.m., and my wife's laboring, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, "No pressure, honey, but if you could kind of..." We got a precedent to keep. And she was like, "It's got to be getting close." You know, she's like, I cannot be in this stage of labor for this much longer. And in my mind, I thought, this stinker is going to come at 12:01 a.m., isn't he? He's going to be the one, he's going to be a combo breaker. But at 11:37, he was born, and it was beautiful, and we were so grateful. And the whole thing has been amazing. We've got such an incredible church family, incredible family that have been surrounding us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for those who have been sending us cards, sending us food. We appreciate it so much. And everything has basically been perfect except for one thing. There's been one thing since Forrester has been born that's kind of tarnished the otherwise perfect like week before Christmas. And that one thing is that our older three children conspired together and they said, let's all get sick as soon as this child is born. So all three of our kids have been sick with fevers and runny nose and they're coughing. And the bummer of it, I don't care that they're sick, whatever, who cares about that? They'll get over it. The bummer of it is they have been so waiting to see their baby brother. They've been praying for him every night. They love him so much. And he's here and they can't touch him, right? He's here, but they're not allowed to like do anything. And so they've handled it like champs. They know that they're only allowed to kiss his feet when he's wearing socks, right? Like we just like lots of boundaries. And as I was thinking about the coming of Christ, I was thinking that Jesus himself was born into a world that was sick with sin, right? And that Jesus himself was born pure, vulnerable, defenseless, and he comes into a world that's full of darkness, full of evil, full of sickness. And yet, Jesus is a demonstration that God is committed to healing a sick world, to forgiving a sinful world, to reconcile a world that's been in rebellion. Ultimately, we see this fulfilled in the cross on Calvary. The cross is the cure, but the cradle, it was the promise that God was not going to leave us. He was not going to allow us just to be wasted in sin and death and rebellion. Before God could enfold us in his love, he himself was enfolded. He was in Mary's womb. He was in Mary's arms. He was vulnerable. He trusted himself to the care of a teenage mother and an ancient carpenter, right? And yet, the light of the world was born, came into a completely unsuspecting, completely unpredictable way, and we celebrate his coming every year around this time. It's been a really fun few days for us, 8 days since Forrester has blessed us with his appearance, and it's really helped us understand those early days of Christ. I mean, this is our fourth kid, so we know what's going on. But like to have it this fresh reminder. And the thing that I'm reminded of is that birth is not serene and tidy and silent, right? We come to these events and we're all very dressed up, which is appropriate. But we celebrate this kind of very sanitized coming of Christ. And the reality is he came in the way that we all did with sweat and blood and tears. He came with pain and with crying and with strain. And yet he came to be among us. He came to be with us, Emmanuel, in our midst. And having a newborn helps like erase or at least correct any kind of idyllic notions you have about babies. Like, aren't they so sweet? You like you see them in commercials or people passing by and they're always just, you know, like infants are a work and they're messy and they're loud and they don't care about your sleep schedule at all. And I was reminded of this the other day. So Forrester, he was smelling so bad. And like, I had just changed his diaper. I was like, surely you haven't gone again. And he didn't. And I was like, you are not old enough to have BO. What's up with this kid? And so I'm like sniffing around, like I'm doing the whole wolf sniff on him. And I realized it was his umbilical cord. right? And so his umbilical cord is drying up. It's since fallen off. But it was kind of like, it's not to gross you out, but it's like rotting flesh, right? I mean, that's what it is, until it falls off, right? And that's what I was smelling. And I was like, oh, geez. And it just made me think, Jesus had all of that. Jesus had all of that. And the thing that we know is when Christ appears to his disciples on his resurrection, there's that one disciple who needs more proof, right? We know him well, Thomas. And Thomas asked for proof of Jesus' scars. And he's asking specifically for scars of the crucifixion. So show me your hands and show me your side. But the reason that we can celebrate the victory that Christ has won for us is not only because he bears the scars of the crucifixion, but he also bears scars of incarnation. Because that's what your belly button is, right? That's your first scar. That's your first connection to life. And Jesus had a belly button. What a weird sermon for Christmas Eve, but I'm sticking to it, right? Jesus had a belly button, which means he was one of us. He was enfolded in his mother's womb. He was born in a stable, in completely unsanitary conditions. He was connected to his mother. And he bears not only the scars of the crucifixion, but he's also our Savior because he bears the scar of the incarnation. God was not content to let his people be far from him. But before he could hold us, he needed to heal us. He needed to send a Savior who was one of us, who could live for us, who could ultimately forgive us and wrap us up in his embrace. So we celebrate on Christmas. We celebrate a God who is willing to come in the most defenseless and ridiculous way possible. A God who is willing to bear the scars of incarnation so that we could be united, so that we could be healed, so that we could be saved. Let's pray together this evening. Jesus, we love you, and we say that you are good. And we celebrate your coming, not in this pristine, Hallmark, sanitized way, but in the actual blood, sweat, and tears reality of an ancient teenage girl giving birth in a barn. And we celebrate that salvation isn't always pretty, but it's always effective because you have come to shine your light to the darkest corners of the world. We praise you that in this Christmas season, some of us might be a mess right now, but that you don't shy away from that because you were born from and into a mess. And that's the reason you came, to gather us up into your arms, to heal and to bind up our wounds and to shed your blood and forgiveness of our sins. We celebrate the cure of our sickness in the cross. We celebrate the promise of your love in the cradle. We celebrate the fact that we are a people who are enfolded by the triune God, demonstrated in the love and the infant in Bethlehem. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. This is my very favorite offering to set up every year, because this offering, 100% of it goes somewhere else, right? So I never feel bad. None of this money is paying me, y'all. So go ahead and give generously, okay? Every year during Christmas Eve, we collect what we call an Advent offering. And that's an offering, like we said, that goes to our ministry partners who are local and national and international. There are people that we've been working with for years, and we know their heart, and we see the fruit of their lives and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. And we just think it's so fitting, because you guys are so generous, this church is so amazingly generous, that we have enough so that we can gather on Christmas Eve and just say, why don't you go ahead and give exorbitantly? Because we're just gonna give all of it away to people that we know are spreading the gospel and proclaiming the name of Jesus. So we pray that as we sing these last songs, that you would give generously, that you would remember that God has been so very good to us. He's blessed us beyond imagination, that we might return a portion to him in thanks. Let me pray over these gifts. Jesus, you are good. May you be glorified in our lives. May you be exalted in our gifts. We pray that you would be blessed and that our partners who are proclaiming your name all over the earth would be blessed because we get to be generous because you've been so generous to us. We pray this in Jesus' name and God's people said. So the shepherds, hearing the angel's invitation to go and see the Messiah, they go and they find Joseph and Mary and the infant Christ. The scripture says that they immediately go and they begin to tell. They begin to share with wonder what God had revealed to them, that the Messiah had come. And if you can imagine Christ, the light of the world, as one single flame of hope. As soon as the shepherds see, they go and they carry the flame and they begin to spread it and the story begins to spread. And at Park Street and many other churches, we have this tradition of trying to recreate that image, the image of the gospel going forth and not just being a solitary light in the darkness, but rather being a flame that begins to catch and spread and shared. And so we like to end our services by singing Silent Night and by passing this light, this flame from the Christ candle so that it is shared throughout the room as we continue to sing of his goodness and grace. Now I'm going to give you some logistical feedback because this is brand new and we would prefer not to have any wax anywhere it's not supposed to be, okay? So we have this great rule, and you're gonna repeat it after me. If the candle is a light, what is it? Hold it upright. I made it up and I forgot it, but now I remember. Okay, so if the candle is a light, hold it upright. I want you to say that again because I feel like you didn't feel it, but we're gonna feel it together. If the candle is a light, hold it upright. So the non-lit candle will be the one dipping. You see? You see how we're not gonna get any wax anywhere? See how easy that is? Okay. Please let us know if you spill anywhere just so we can tell Santa to skip your house, okay? Just kidding, Gemma, girl, just kidding. Let me pray. We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to pass this light of Jesus onto one another. Jesus, light of the world, who came to a world full of sin and darkness. You are our hope. And it's by you and through you that we can see the grace and the love of God that was shown to us through your life, through your death, and through your victory over sin in your resurrection. May you be blessed. We love you. We share you with joy in our hearts this season. It's in Jesus' name all of God's people said, amen. Let's sing to the Lord this evening as we pass this gift of light to one another.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
we bless you in the name of the light of the world, in the sweet, perfect infant Christ, who was the eternal Word, yet became flesh to redeem and to save us. May you spread him with joy. May you share him with hope. And may you find healing in the warmth of his loving light. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Let's gently, while keeping them upright, blow. And we're going to continue to keep them upright, friends, until you deposit them on your way out. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' perfect name. Merry Christmas, church. Go in peace.